I hope that's in the recording audio.
I'll say if not, one of us can just leave and come back, and it should get the noise.
Hey, all right, yeah. Let me just for funsies, I'll be right back.
Oh. So it makes like the noise in reverse because it does like the da-dung and then it goes da-dong like on the way out. Wait,
you also heard when I left?
Yes. Okay, you gotta hear.
Okay. I feel like we shouldn't be so amused by this, but
I know. Like it. I know. It is. I'm really hoping there it has that in the recording because it is so funny to me. And if not, like, I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be so disappointed.
I mean, yeah, if we're hearing it, it should be part of the output, I imagine. But it is one of those things that could just be like local to each of our machines as we hear it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, come on. Don't do a so dirty Discord.
Come on.
Damn it.
Come on.
Come on. Okie dokie.
Okay.
Is Greg still in? Camera.
Yeah, he's still here.
Okay.
Greg and I are jamming.
Woo!
Well, yeah, so.
And I don't know why the fuck that happened. That was pretty random.
I haven't
had that happen in a while.
Just one of those things. It is what it is. It's a Wednesday. Who knows?
And it's almost Halloween, so like all sorts of spooky shit's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Hence the spooky sound effect thing. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I think without further ado, we should dive right in.
Yes, I think
because
so.
Because I feel like I ran out of it. Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our little show here. This is Peculiar Pairings. Thank you for joining.
Hello. Welcome. Hello.
My name is Matt.
I am Celine.
And this is our little show where Celine tells us a story, and we have a little snack, and hopefully learn some stuff, you know, have some laughs, maybe some tears. But this one, I think, is kind of like a sort of impromptu, quick kind of thing, so we're not going super hardcore on the pairing. But yes, Celine, would you please introduce what we're talking about?
Yes, we are talking about the very new, very in the media, everyone wants to know, Louvre jewelry heist.
Well,
because this happened and I could not help myself. I was like, you know what? Area 51 can wait.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not going anywhere. Yeah.
Well, like, yes.
You know, Area 51 is very interesting. Lots of lore and stuff to talk about. It's like, it's been there a long time. It'll be there for a long time. And this is happening. So, like, as a matter of fact, when you first texted me about it, nobody at work was talking about it. I didn't hear any other messages. And then I looked up a little bit of it and I'm like, holy shit, this like just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it on my news app and was like, oh my God. I got to talk about this, especially because, well, art heists happen on like a, I say semi-frequently, as in there's one like every couple years. One this big has not happened in a while.
Right. This is the kind of thing where it's like, we love watching movies about it, but then when it happens in real life, you're like, who the fuck would actually do that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But for the occasion, considering that we are talking about a story in good old France, you go all the way over there with some...
Oui, en français.
Yes, I forgot. You actually kind of know a little bit of it, and I just sort of
faked my way through
it better. You, oh, how dare you?
A little bit.
No,
from my non-French speakers. Well, I mean, you can see my hand gestures, but they can't.
I was like, how dare you condescend to me? I figured it out from context clues, although the finger movement...
No, that was not for you. That was for anyone who cannot see what I'm doing with my hands.
Perfect. I got you. Yeah. So yeah, we are just having, I had said baguettes, but I forgot one, how big they are usually. And I'm like, I'm not going to eat this whole thing. And then I ended up just getting a French, a little bag of like French rolls. And I'm like, oh, those have French in the name. It'll be fine. And yeah. Then, just some wine. We're going to sit back and have a little drink and some sweet treat bread.
Yeah. All things French, wine, wait, and baguettes.
A baguette. Exactly. So where do we begin with this crazy tale?
Well, I'm going to start with my sources, and that I have BBC News, several articles from Straight Arrow News, CBS News, Old Rural Radio, and artnews.com. Those are all my sources for today.
I'm going to interrupt you immediately. Kind of as a precursor to this, again, we try not to go like too political on this show and whatnot, but I have been following a little bit the quote unquote renovations happening at the nation's capital. And I'm just like,
yeah,
why? it makes me feel like we're watching part of our own history be stolen in like a really slow way. And I was just listening to a kind of description of what's going down as I was at work earlier this evening. And I was just like, the one thing that I have never heard from anyone, even as like an analysis of this, including the president himself, like, why? I just don't understand. Like, because even he doesn't really have an explanation. He's just like, people have wanted a ballroom. You know, this place should have a ballroom. And the only reason that I'm even really annoyed about it, and it feels kind of like theft, is that he said he wasn't going to touch the East Wing, and now it's completely demolished. It's just gone.
Yeah. And, I will not share much on my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But I will share that I don't believe that it is for the ballroom.
I agree. I feel like that's as far as we have to go with it. I didn't mean to interrupt you immediately. It just made me think of on like a large national scale of like weird things that are happening, and they're again kind absolutely of like things sort of being stolen. Like, we'll never really get the East Wing back again. Like, I don't understand why it had to be destroyed. But yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's not really about the ballroom. And France, our hearts go out to you as you have had to deal with the disappearance of certain things. But without any further ado, yeah, again, I apologize. I don't know why that tripped my brain. But,
I understand.
In a realm of what the hell.
Yeah, we are very much in a realm of what the hell. And our story begins on Sunday, the 19th, at approximately 9:30 in the morning. So that's, for anyone who does listen to this in future episodes, that's October 19th, 2025.
Oh, good call, yeah.
About an hour and a half after the museum opened their doors for the morning. This is when this heist takes place.
They were open?
Yes, they were open to the public. Oh my God. Open at like 8 a.m.
Okay.
And the amount of jokes I saw about how these jewel thieves have a better work-life balance than Americans is funnier and sadder than I could have ever imagined, because yes, it is true. They're like, get up at 8 a.m. with every... No, let's sleep in a little bit. Let's go at 9:30.
Yeah, and they're like, on a Sunday? No, no, we get up a little later. I'm not going to start a heist. We have to get up and have some cafe and a little bit of breakfast, you know? We have to prepare for the day. Do some stretches, maybe some morning yoga. And then we go steal a bunch of stuff. From one of the... from arguably the most famous... what is it called? Oh my God. The place that houses things.
Oh, museum.
Thank you. It's been a long day, folks. But yes, museum. Then they go to... sounds stressful, though. I mean, yeah, I...
Absolutely.
But you're definitely correct. Like, as I was chuckling about the better work-life balance, there was a bit of laughter and then just the slightest tear that started to form. And yeah, just the... It's so true. It's so sad.
It's the... I always think of the video of the... Tell me you're American without telling me you're American. And the guy's like, we the best. We the best. And then there's just like tears. We the best. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. We're with you,
bro. I feel that in my soul.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So the heist itself was said to be swift and professional, which... I've heard a lot of back and forth on that as to whether or not they were professional jewel thieves, which we will address a little later.
Sure. I was just thinking like we can talk about it later, but yeah, it just made me think of like, so, I mean, my understanding is they were successful and still not caught. So how do you really gauge professional versus like just a weekend heist person who, thief, yeah. I suppose, a nice person. Yeah, I'm like, I feel like they nailed it.
Yeah, so they stole items in the Galerie de Boulogne, which is like the name of the wing that they were in, which is a vaulted hall in the Denon wing.
So that name of the wing doesn't refer necessarily to like what's being shown there. It's just the name of that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And this particular wing housed the French crown jewels and was underneath a ceiling painting, which was done by King Louis XIV, who is the Sun King. It was his court artist. So we've got like stuff on the ceiling. It's very large, extravagant, gorgeous artwork everywhere.
Yeah, the kind of concept of like, is it painted on the ceiling? Like the ceiling, it was like the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool.
And it was known that initially reports were like, oh, there was three, maybe four. There's officially four people who broke into the museum. There were four people caught on camera anyways, and they don't believe that there were any people outside of that. And it is believed that they were a veteran team because of how quick and precise they were.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the entire heist was under 8 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
While they're open. I mean, like, how? They didn't steal the ceiling, did they?
No, they did not steal the ceiling. Okay. They did steal, I believe it was 102 million plus worth of artwork.
Wow. Oh, mostly so beyond. Okay. Oh, okay. That's why I was like, so they did take stuff beyond the crown jewels.
They did. Yes. And I don't have all of the items listed since I have not seen anything that lists out all items that they stole. They stole 8 pieces in total. I know that.
Wow.
But the thing that has been really funny to me is that the descriptions of it from eyewitnesses is that this was something out of like a Hollywood film where like they're in the museum minding their own business. All of a sudden the alarms are going off. They're being just like shoved outside and they're like, what's going on?
Well, you know, because so many things that you see in movies, especially pertaining to like first responders and military, they're just like, you hear from the experts and they're like, it's really cool on film, but this wouldn't work in real life. Like, this isn't how we do it, that kind of thing. So you would assume that what you've seen in like a Hollywood heist movie couldn't possibly be done. And then, yeah, you have eyewitnesses who are like, we don't know what the fuck was going on. The alarm started sounding off. Yeah. And then there again, like the fact that they got the crown jewels and got away and in under 8 minutes, like how the hell did this happen?
Yeah. So the thing that is really funny to me is that, as we now know, they used a like ladder lift on the back of a vehicle. That's what they used as like their ride to get there. Used that to break a window. And that's how they got into that section of the Louvre. And they left the vehicle there because as they were trying to leave, they tried to set it on fire, but staff prevented them from doing so. So that particular vehicle has become like the subject of a lot of photos surrounding the heist because everyone's like, oh my gosh, you can see like their access point and where they got into the museum and like it kind of being this sense of awe, which I think is really funny because it's just like a forklift truck.
I have seen a few pictures and I was like, well, because part of it is it really demonstrates how I mean, you'd hope that like the official security like crew of the museum would think that this is a bit odd, like they would know that maintenance would, but they also might not have any way of really knowing, you know, but just the idea that they're in broad daylight in one of the busiest areas, I mean, maybe on the planet, because how many people want to go and be there and see, you know?
So many.
And they just set up the thing, they go up the ladder, and I mean, basically 100% of people who are walking by seeing that are just like, oh, they must be maintenance workers, because they're otherwise
cleaning the windows.
Right, because otherwise someone would stop them.
Yeah.
Like, they would see this and say, what the fuck? Although it does make, I do now see a little bit of how they would say a professional team versus less professional, because one of the things that you would see in a movie, they wouldn't just slam the ladder like into the window just to break it open. You would assume they like had someone on the inside or whatever, or like previously had the window unlocked somehow and they could just quietly open it. Because it does make you think like, nobody heard that? Nobody saw a ladder slam into a window? You feel like that would set off some alarms right there and there'd be someone just tackling them.
So something I do want to point out is that for anyone who's actually been to the Louvre and been in the museum, anything that is basically not where the Mona Lisa is like so much quieter and calmer and way less populated.
Gotcha.
And especially because the Mona Lisa, famously famous for being stolen, was initially housed in probably a very similar area, like where the Gallery of Apollo is, where everything was stolen, where it's just kind of there, not tons of interest in it. Like, yeah, people go in and see it. It's just maybe not like the thing people are there to go see, per se. It also is the balcony that was closest to the Seine, so they maybe could have thought initially about having like a river getaway.
Oh, okay. They were trying to set their truck on fire. I guess I would have just assumed that they would use that as their getaway vehicle, but I for some reason love the idea that they tried to set it on fire but couldn't get it to go. That's another mark where it's like, come on, guys. I feel like that should be one of the easy parts of the heist is like, you have a plan for how you know that this, like if that wasn't impromptu, if that was part of your plan from the beginning, you should have someone who's knowledgeable on how to make that happen and have that set up way ahead of time so that all you do is you're getting away. You just press a button or something and then it just goes up in flames. That seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah. And so initially they all thought that the crane was used to break the window. They did have I think it was like a glass cutter and then smashed the window.
Oh,
so it was like a little bit more precise than like swinging a crane out to like smash the window, but still people would have heard it presumably because it would still make quite a bit of noise.
But I do see what you mean. Yeah. Okay. I take back a little bit of my jabs at them, what I was thinking. Yeah. Cause that would be a bit more controlled and while still probably loud, not as loud as the crane itself just slamming through the window.
But still, like some of those things, like maybe not the most thought through.
Mm-hmm.
And they stole several items from the Napoleon collection and eight pieces in total. And of these items, it included the Sapphire Diadem, which is like a crown. I've seen pictures of it. So I was like, what is that? It's a crown.
Yeah, I did see some pictures of a crown. Looked very ornate and priceless.
An emerald necklace and a corsage brooch that belonged to Empress Eugenie, which was the wife of Napoleon III.
Like, it is weird to me that even if it's like a less trafficked area, you would still have a guard, like at least one guard, like standing there. Yeah, constant.
And they do. That's.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I will say, is at least from what I remember from being there, is that they do still have guards like and security throughout. They just maybe aren't like. They are very prevalent at the Mona Lisa. Sure. And I think in other areas, they're just maybe not quite as present. They are still there, just maybe not as much as like they maybe should be.
Right. Well, and that's what I mean. Like, they might be walking around, you know, they're doing their rounds. Like, I would have one person. That kind of thing feels significant enough that I would have one, at least one person just walking around that room all the time. Just like in that room and like, your job is to protect these jewels. That's it.
Yeah. So the perpetrators left the scene on motorbikes/scooters. I've seen both, so I'm not sure if it's like an electric scooter, like what you use with Uber, or if it's like a little like small electric bike type. Yeah.
I am, that maybe even a collapsible one that makes more sense. What I was thinking though was a really posh brand new like Vespa, but like tricked out like the Italian job where they've got the minis that are, they're holding all the gold bars and they trick it out with like super high end motors and stuff and extra suspension. So they've got these very innocent looking underpowered little Vespas. But then once they get them going, they're just fucking roaring down the street and tearing it up fucking Paris. And yeah, but I do. You're probably right that it's just like an electric scooter they could like fold up or whatever. But I mean, I suppose they didn't. Did they steal any like full paintings?
I don't think they stole any full paintings. I think it was more smaller jewelry type artifacts.
Right. Which makes sense. Yeah. They could just like wrap those up in a satchel and just get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. And one of the pieces of jewelry was found on the scene and they did use that later for forensics.
Okay. I hadn't heard that. That's cool.
With all of this, the Louvre stayed closed until Wednesday the 22nd, to have investigation, see what forensic evidence they could find.
I think that's all of that. Honestly, that kind of sounds like a very small amount of time. I feel like that would have prompted them to, I guess my mind would jump to a month, but I would think at least a week you'd be closed.
So the main part of the museum is open. That specific wing is closed.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So that part is closed, but like you could still go see the Mona Lisa or the Venus de Milo.
Okay, I went a little extreme. Like it's just this one part that people can't go to. But still, I feel like a week. I mean, I suppose they are as thorough as they possibly can be. And once they realize they've eliminated like everything, they're like, okay, there's no reason to keep it closed.
Yeah. There are currently more than 100 different investigators searching for the culprits. Wow.
Okay.
And art crime experts warn that the thieves could break up the jewelry potentially and sell it that way.
Okay.
And like just sell like the stones themselves versus like the whole piece on the black market, which.
Right. Because I one of the things there again, not that I looked too much into this, but I did see at least a few like YouTube shorts talking about this. And the one thing that always does come to mind, even in like heist movies, they're usually doing it like for a third party or whatever. That's, you know, a trillionaire and they just want this for whatever. But it does make you wonder, like, if you don't have a specific benefactor, and maybe they do, you know, maybe they have someone, but like, what, these are items that people are going to recognize. Yeah. How the fuck are you going to get rid of them? They are genuinely as priceless as a thing can be. I couldn't help thinking, like, even if you pieced it out, they're going to notice that, like, there you, because even if you cut up the gems, at a certain point they'll be like, boy, that looks like the same color and everything of those jewels that were stolen however long ago. And there again, not, like, you can't just try to fence them right away. You know, you gotta you gotta wait at least a year, I would think. And then you're just holding on to these stupidly expensive things for however long. It's a weird thing to do. Like, bank robbing kind of makes sense if you can just get cash. But the Louvre, like, those are gonna be very recognizable objects.
Well, and like the Mona Lisa, I think the guy that stole her had he had the painting for like several years and initially thought he had a buyer, and then because of all the hype that the painting got from being stolen, the buyer wouldn't touch it. So then in trying to find like another buyer, he like could not find anybody because no one wanted to touch it with all the publicity.
Right. Yeah, they're like, no, it has at that point become the most famous painting, at least in the current day. And so like, I'm not fucking taking that thing. What like, I wanted it before just because I'm a posh douchebag and I wanted to put it in my living room and just be like,
yeah,
you know, anybody that came over would be like, you know, that's the real one. It's the actual thing. But yeah, then like investigators are going all over the place and it's, I mean, once it becomes international news, you're fucked.
Yep. Basically. So since the investigation and the theft of the jewelry, it did call into question the security at the Louvre, specifically the lack of security cameras and the strength of the glass displays. And the functionality of their alarm systems, because they may have had alarm systems on the windows and the display cases, but they didn't go off until someone realized it was missing.
Okay.
And someone like sounded the alarm.
Yeah.
And they did state that the alarms and video cameras were all operational, but that there is a weakness in their security and that that's something that they are working to address.
Good. I would hope so.
And since all of this went down, two people have been apprehended.
Okay. Oh, no. Were and they inside people? Them, were they employees?
They were not. They were not.
Okay.
That was the thing everyone thought was going to come out when they finally like arrested somebody was, oh, they're going to be like someone on the inside. They're going to be someone like who they had an inside band working with them, like something to that nature. And as far as I have seen, none.
Yeah, because I suppose in a way that's a risk in and of itself, because there again, it came back to me, the idea of like you have someone unlatch the window or disabled stuff in some way. But like, yeah, I mean, it's then they don't show up for work because they're on the run from the Louvre and international investigators for art.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Oh, so what do we know so far about the two people?
So both of them were arrested on Saturday. So that would be the 25th. Okay. And they were questioned for 96 hours, which I feel a lot. So they've basically like been questioned since I think like
Saturday morning.
Yesterday, like
right, they were just constantly
end of day Tuesday. They've just been questioned like the whole time. Both of them are from Seine-Saint-Denis, just Seine-Saint-Denis. It's so an area just outside of Paris, so like a suburb. And
They're Frenchmen. I for whatever reason I assumed these would be international thieves who had like a getaway plan to just leave the country.
So one of them is actually from Algeria, and he was apprehended attempting to board a plane for Algeria.
So close.
He was arrested at the Charles de Gaulle airport. He is 34. And he was actually identified from DNA recovered from one of the scooters.
What? No. Holy shit.
They found the scooters.
Okay.
That's how they got his DNA. Wow. The second suspect is Parisian. He's from like an area outside of Paris in Aubervilliers. So another suburb. He was an illegal taxi driver and delivery driver in the area. Mm. He is 39 and his DNA was found on the glass that had been broken from one of the display cases.
Is it and blood? I
don't know
like
if it was blood or if it was like a fingerprint.
Well, because that like, I'm not sure if you can get DNA from a fingerprint. You can definitely use it to try to like match people, but maybe sweat or something. I don't know why I was so intrigued by that, but I was imagining him just like muscling through this case.
Through the case.
Yeah, and his knuckles are all bloody. Right, exactly. He gets hit by a shard and he's bleeding.
Potentially. He has been previously known to police for aggravated theft. So whether it was fingerprint, blood, hair, sweat, they would have found him as a match through that in whatever database they have.
He's, right, because he's already been apprehended. So, yeah, they have all of his samples. They've got his fingerprints and whatnot. Yeah. So, he was definitely easy to catch.
Yes.
Dumb bastard.
And as of right now, they've only partially admitted to their involvement, but they don't believe that there's any more suspects outside of the other two that are still on the lam.
Okay. Maybe focusing on the wrong point here, but what do you mean they like semi-admitted? Because I feel like once we have DNA evidence linking you to this, there isn't like anything to admit. Well, they're like, okay, so I was there, but that didn't steal anything.
That they are like, well, yeah, I was there, but I don't have the jewels and I don't know where they are.
Okay.
I was just paid to do the job, which was to take the stuff. I don't have it though.
And presumably there is a sort of like thief code where you don't rat people out, but it does seem like if I was caught for that level of a heist, I would just be like, hey, look, this is the plan. This is where these guys went. Please don't throw me in jail forever. I would probably rat them out.
Right now, they are facing a sentence of up to 15 years in prison.
Yeah.
And a lot of heavy fines for their thievery.
Well, they just did a huge heist, so at least they can pay the fines. They'll be fine.
If they could even sell it and get the money.
They're totally going to get their cut in prison and then they can pay the fines. It'll be fine. Yeah.
And they do have other DNA from the scene, so I think it's just going to be a matter of time before they catch the other two involved.
Yeah, so presumably the other two just don't have any like big records to. Yeah, okay. So they have presumably all the evidence that they need. It's just a matter of like matching it up at some point.
Yeah, because the two that they have in custody have both been known to police for other crimes.
Right, okay.
So it's when you have evidence like that, it's pretty easy to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're already in our system. Well, we know to keep an eye out for this person and this person. So you can stop them at the airport. You can stop them from at like the border and stuff like that.
That is, oh my God. I'm trying not to feel too much sympathy for them, but I can just, as I tend to be a nervous flyer just as it is. But I only get nervous in like the preemptive part. So like getting to the airport, getting parking, or, you know, however you have that worked out for your trip, making sure I have all my bags, getting checked in, getting through security. And I always tend to get there like an hour before or even an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then I just have to wait. And then you finally get on the plane. And, you know, we've all heard enough horror stories about like the plane is going to the tarmac. And then for whatever reason, they turn back to the terminal. So like, I can't relax until I'm actually in the air and we're like going towards our destination. I can't imagine the stress that guy must have felt when he's like, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And then they're just like, hey, Are you this guy? And he's like, no. And they're like, well, you're going to jail. Yeah, you're going to get interrogated for nearly 100 hours straight.
Cinema. Yeah. Not me.
Okay, that one I definitely didn't figure out from context. Cinema? No.
C'est non moi.
C'est.
It's non me.
It's non me.
I think there's a different way to say it that's probably more correct, but it has been years since I've practiced my French, so this is the best we're getting.
The first part sounds like Foghorn and Leghorn, where he's like, I say, no moi.
It is.
I feel like
no me. It's like technically what I'm saying. So I would say that's not necessarily
no moi. I feel like that's just a very dated reference, and there are certain people who are laughing at me, and not in a good way. Do you know what I'm talking about, Foghorn Leghorn?
I don't.
Oh, God. Yeah, now I feel really old. Never mind. He's a cartoon.
This is the difference between elder millennial and younger millennial, is that, like, there are some things you know that I don't, and then there are things that I know that you don't.
Because me and Zach would have grown up, like, right on the tail end of just a shitload of, like Looney Tunes reruns, like that's all they had for like children's television. And then we started getting a bunch of cable, you know, shows and stuff that was more appropriate. And so I have all these references of really, really old cartoons that are like, aren't even from the 80s. They're from like the 50s that they just reran. And so that's a reference that a small amount of people listening to this will understand.
I hope they do.
I do too, because if you want to go to our Instagram account and let us know if you got a Foghorn Leghorn joke, that'd be very much appreciated.
Yes. So some of the items they have found that have DNA are gloves, a helmet, and then a high visibility jacket. So like a nice reflective coat.
Interesting. I don't know why this is where my brain went, but now I want to know if that was all from one thief or if each item went to a different thief.
That is the thing, is that we don't know. They have also recovered DNA from the window.
Okay. That like they haven't been able to link to either of the two guys yet?
I believe so. I don't think they've linked any of these items from the suspects that have been apprehended, since one of them was from the glass case and then the other was from the scooter.
Forgot. Okay. Yeah. So we got when you said glass, I was thinking that was the same thing. Yeah. So it's the glass case, the glass from the window, and the scooter. Ooh.
Yeah. It's just a matter of time before any of the other people get caught.
Well, and I was going to say earlier, I mean, we've already seen the new way that they use DNA to like track family trees and stuff, and they narrow it down closer and closer. So it's like, I mean, I feel like they're just going to do that. And especially if they know for a fact that they have two like unknown DNA sources, it's not like they just couldn't match it with the other DNA samples they already had. So like, we know for a fact these are two distinct different ones. And yeah, time to just go through all of the DNA databases that we've built and narrow it down. And eventually they're like, doesn't matter where you fly, we'll find you.
Yeah. And I am not sure if the DNA they have, if it all matches to one person per se. So it could be one versus the two. But I am assuming that because they're like, oh, well, you have this other DNA evidence, that it is not tied to the people they have already arrested.
Right. And you would assume that like, if it wasn't complete enough for them to be able to confidently say that like, this is just a different sample of the same person's DNA, that they'd probably be pretty certain that like, these are samples from two other like completely distinct individuals.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just not like a complete enough sample that they can't quite match it or something like that.
Yeah. And authorities are pretty optimistic that the jewels can be recovered because they do consider them to be unsellable now because of how much hype everything has gotten, like we talked about previously.
Yeah, like the Mona Lisa, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I would say that doesn't necessarily bar it entirely from being sold on like the black market, mm-hmm. but it does create this very high risk that that's what people choose not to take on, not that they don't want the artwork per se. It's more the fact that the inherent risk that comes with it is just too high for them to justify
for sure
buying yeah. the item.
I will say the one thing they do have going for them beyond the aforementioned Mona Lisa example is that you couldn't really ever cut up the Mona Lisa. Like it has to be fully intact for you to try to get money from anyone.
Yeah.
But I could see if they had the expertise and they were willing to take the time and the effort to literally like, you know, remove the gems from the gold or like silver that it's in, melt it down. At that point, it would, unless they could do some kind of like spectrometer analysis shit to like be like, this is the gold that had to be in that crown or whatever. I mean, once you melt it down, you can't link it to a previous piece of art. And I suppose they could cut all of the gems individually into like tiny little bits and sell those by themselves. But I mean, that would take so much time. And there again, you would assume that if these thieves started coming out, even multiple years from now, somebody's going to be like, boy, those really have the same hue as those incredibly famous pieces of jewelry that were stolen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems pretty hard to get away with.
I think considering the fact that the thieves apprehended seem a little bit more like this was we're going to just try this out and see how it goes type of deal. I don't believe that they necessarily did this having had like a buyer waiting for them to take everything. I think this was more of a, let's just steal it and see how it goes type of thing. So now they're like kind of sitting there in a position where like they've stolen this jewelry and they can't do anything with it.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking that too, where it really was just like if anyone who's worked at a bank or worked at a place that deals with a lot of cash, you tend to talk with your coworkers just daydreaming about like, man, if we pulled this off, oh man, I'd go to like Cabo and I'd just live forever. But like you could totally see them getting wrapped up just in kind of the intrigue and the drama of wanting to pull off a heist, that they did it. And when they got out, they couldn't believe that they pulled it off. And then they're like, fuck, what do we do now? Like, they just didn't think past the heist. They were so excited about planning it and trying to pull it off that they just never thought of an actual end game. And now, like you said, they're just stuck with these jewels that they can't do anything with.
Yep. Yeah, basically. And I think the thing that has made this such a big deal, outside of the fact that, like, it is these priceless artifacts, mm-hmm. is also kind of the fact that we haven't had a big like heist with artwork since at least not one to like this global scale, mm-hmm. since like I think it was like 2020 there was a Van Gogh piece taken from the Singer Lauren Museum.
What? I thought you didn't know about that one either? No, I thought for sure you were going to say, we haven't seen a heist like this since 1952, you know, or something like that. I'm like, no, what? 2020?
2020.
Okay.
I believe that piece, I can't remember if that piece was recovered or not, but I mean, with everything being as quiet as it was with 2020 and COVID, that one, like.
I was just going to say, yeah, they were like, COVID sense. Seems like a good time. Yeah. They won't suspect us to strike now.
As far as like a jewelry heist, mm-hmm. there was the Dresden jewelry heist at Fünf Gelobe Museum. I don't think I'm saying that right. That was in Germany, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And we have, you know, the Garner Museum heist in Boston in 1990. And the Scream, which was stolen during the Winter Olympics of 1994 in Oslo. And then, of course, the Mona Lisa.
Well, I was going to, because you had mentioned the Mona Lisa has kind of a history of that. When was the last time the Mona Lisa was stolen?
Oh, that is a great question. Let me look. Since We know it has been stolen twice.
Oh, okay. That's still not quite as many times as I thought, but still, that's probably more than just about any other piece.
So 1911, and it was recovered in 1913.
Oh, wow. Okay. 2 years on the lam? Yeah. On the run?
Yeah.
I didn't know the Scream was stolen. Did we ever get it back? Do you know?
I believe so. Oh, I guess the Mona Lisa was only stolen once. I thought it was stolen twice.
Yeah, I thought there was two. Like, as little as I know about famous pieces of art, yeah, I thought that one... I thought it was, like, three or four times.
You remember the Mona Lisa being stolen twice, right?
Yes.
Oh my God, Mandela effect. Mandela effect! We're in the wrong universe!
No, it has. It's at the Louvre.
Yeah, you're right. It was at the Louvre.
Did he say was? No, it is at the Louvre.
Is.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, I'm checking. Okay, I'm checking again.
Once. 1911,
Parisia.
Yeah.
Only once.
Coincidentally, the Scream has actually been stolen twice.
Yes, that I do know. The Scream has been stolen twice.
Huh.
One was more recently, and the more famous one was during the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking at in Lillehammer. Lillehammer, Oslo.
Yep. So it's, I mean, I'd say, and there's definitely a lot more heists that have happened. Like, there was another one at the Van Gogh Museum in, like, 2002. There was, I think the Scream the second time was 2015, and then there was another one in 2016. Not the Scream, a different art heist. So it happens like a little more commonly than you think.
Yeah.
But we're not hearing about it very often. So I feel like when it does happen to this type of scale, it's like a huge deal.
Absolutely. Oh, I would have, like I said, give me an example of any piece of art. I would have thought for sure the last time, like, any piece of art that just a random person walking on the street would have definitely known what it was. I wouldn't have thought it'd have been stolen since maybe the early 1900s. I didn't think there were so many heists of multiple paintings even within the last 30 years. I just assumed it. I literally thought this was the first heist of anything to this degree, like from a museum in years, many decades. Yeah. That's wild to me.
It is insane.
As a matter of fact, the last like real life heist I remember hearing about was from an episode of Drunk History. And I don't remember where it was. I just remember them talking about how stupid the thieves were because they didn't realize that the pieces of art were like screwed into the wall. They thought that they would just be able to lift them off the wall. And just... So they apparently then took out a razor blade or a knife, whatever.
And they cut it, them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then supposedly they didn't realize until they heard about themselves on the news that they were exceptionally more dumb because they only stole paintings from like local artists. Like they didn't steal anything that was really worth any like real value.
They're like, we took it from this local artist that like nobody's heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and supposedly one of them was a security guard, so you'd think that he would know where the more expensive pieces were. Yeah. But they couldn't get up to like the third level or something. They just stole everything that was close by. And I think they got caught pretty quickly and spent most of the rest of their lives in jail for no reason.
Yeah. That is with that is everything I have currently on the Louvre heist.
That's awesome. I I like this started out with me just being excited about this heist, and I've ended up being more excited about the idea that so many more heists have happened than I would have ever assumed.
Yeah. So, there's,
thank you for that.
And even what I touched on was just like a small portion.
Oh, I can imagine. There's, like if they have, yeah, now I want to just go like down a Wikipedia rabbit hole and just look up all the different heists that have happened.
I will say the one that probably baffles me the most is the one for the Gardner Museum, because the art was never found and the thieves were never apprehended. They have no idea who did it to this day.
What do you know what pieces from that heist were stolen?
There was like two or three stolen, like very specific pieces, and I cannot remember which ones they are off the top of my head.
I probably wouldn't know it anyways. A lot of them do have fairly vague names that can all kind of be the same thing, like woman in mirror. It's like, well, that could describe. That's why, like, the Scream was the one that I knew off the top of my head, and like the Mona Lisa. But it's like, yeah, I'm probably not gonna get any of the other ones.
And Van Gogh, his style is distinctive, but the name of the painting, I would be like, yeah, I don't know what that is.
Right. I have a friend who went to art school and he still paints. He's a really good artist and he sells some of his works. It's coming along. And for anyone who plays Wordle, there are art-based versions of that where like you pull it up and you have like certain images of a piece of work, a piece of art that you can like try to guess. And I don't know why, but he thought that this would be a cool thing for him and I to do every day and like exchange thoughts or whatever. And I'm like, dude, if you think I'm going to get one of them, you're out of your fucking mind. Like, cause I gave it a good try for like a week and it got to the point where he would give me hints and it'd be up to like five hints. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, this really famous work about this thing. And then he helps me get the answer and it reveals the final piece. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what the fuck that is. And he's like, it's so famous. I'm like, yeah, it's so famous to someone who went to art school for, 4 to 5 years.
He's
and
like talking about like an obscure Monet. And you're like, I don't know. But like,
bro, you're lucky I know the name Monet.
Know right. It.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm sure if you were talking to one of your classmates, you could probably have a conversation and really enjoy this. And I'm like, I don't know why you chose me. I enjoy art. I'll go to a museum. That'd be fun. But I'm like, I don't know anything about it. But for anyone who's an art nut, look it up. There is a Wordle-like game for pieces of art that you can do every day and enjoy your nerddom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of enjoying things and whatnot, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this episode and any other episodes you've listened to. And if you have any suggestions for us for either stories, topics, or pairings, please email us at peculiarpairingspod@gmail.com. You can find us on the app formerly known as Twitter at peculiarpairpod. You can find us on Instagram at peculiarpairingspod. And we're also on Patreon. So,
yeah,
so
we are everywhere.
And, times are weird and times are tough. People are breaking down buildings and stealing paintings out of famous other buildings. And you might not be able to throw us anything on Patreon. But for whatever platform you're listening to us on, please give us a like, give us a review, and we'd really appreciate it. That helped us out.
Yeah. Share us with your friends, your family, people you like, people you don't like.
Yeah.
And anyone will do.
Yeah, especially the people you don't like.
Share us out of spite.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you want to hear about the heist at the Louvre? And they're like, a little bit. And they're like, oh, you don't hate it enough.
You don't hate it enough.
Yeah.
I really like this show. And they're like, well, I don't like you, so I don't think I'd like it. Well, you should listen anyway.
Yeah. Kidnap them, tie them to a chair, and make them listen. And then,
don't kidnapping, but
no, I'm not. I'm just saying if you're the type who's going to do that, you're already kidnapping someone anyway, give them some earbuds and make them review the show. Pull this back just a little bit. It's like, yeah, we do not condone, nor do we suggest.
We do not condone or suggest committing crimes.
We're just saying if you happen to have someone who is just a captive audience, do us a favor. Celine, you already...
babysitting. Wait, I actually, no, don't share us with children.
Hey, I feel like, about. Oh, right.
We're never children.
Yeah, crap. But, damn it. Well, you already mentioned it earlier, but Celine, would you tell everybody what's coming up in the next episode?
Yes, we are going to talk about Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going to be super cool.
Yes, just postponed for a week.
Right. And I'm just going to warn all the listeners now. I personally am not a believer in aliens, but I do love a good story about aliens. And yeah. I'm kind of, my favorite part about that is just how lame a lot of the answers are. Like, whether you believe what the government says about what's there or not, it just is like, guys, it's not aliens. We're just nerds and we're doing stuff. And then they're like, that's fucking aliens. And I'm like, I want it to be aliens so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. So thanks, everybody, for listening with us. And we hope you join us next time. And have a good week and all that. And bye-bye.
If tales of ghostly hauntings, Bigfoot encounters, extraterrestrial interactions, and cosmic awakenings are your cup of tea, then join me, Eric Szilagyi, host of Uncomfortable Podcast, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Make Uncomfortable your home for the topics that reside on the fringe of our reality. Eyewitnesses, researchers, and experiencers join me on a weekly basis to delve into their paranormal and otherworldly experiences. Heard in over 65 countries worldwide, follow Uncomfortable Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your casts. Uncomfortable is now presented in video form on YouTube as well. So, as always, my friends, stay uncomfortable.